listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 201 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and psychotherapist Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
Oh, I'm good.
You set up and ready to go?
I am. I've just been looking at about feeding the world.
Feeding or feeling?
Both. No, feeding.
Feeding the world.
Feeding. Yep.
Okay, you're going to have a go at it, are you?
Yeah. I'm going to start cooking.
Walking on water, feeding the...
Yeah.
7 billion or whatever it is.
Yeah, need a few fishes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, we're talking about selflessness and altruism today, which, well, we weren't initially, but this was based on an article that Sean sent me, which we'll go into in a bit. Yeah. And before that, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website for all the show notes and links from this and all previous episodes. If you are new to the show, check it out. There's a wealth of amazing resources available there. When you are there, or if you've had the email through from us, which you'll get if you sign up to our mailing list on the website, you'll see a link to clearmindcushion.com. Our friend Chris has developed a really, really cool meditation cushion, which will increase your odds of sticking at meditation. I'm getting there. I'm experimenting still. But yeah, really good, well-designed meditation cushion. And if you use the discount code SELFHELP, all one word, you will get a 10% discount, which ain't too shabby, is it?
Very good.
So check it out, clearmindcushion.com. How are you, Sean?
I am very good.
What's been going on in your world, in your
very
life?
Very good. What's going on in my world? Well, to be quite honest, I've been offered this job in the Middle East, you see.
Oh, you're allowed to talk about that now.
Well, it's getting closer.
Ooh.
So it means 1 week a month I should be working in a hospital.
Yeah.
In the Middle East. Setting it up, actually, which is... I set up all the staff, support staff, which is quite exciting for me.
Yeah.
So we're in those kind of initial phases. I think that it's a cross-cultural thing where we're trying to instill in a culture that perhaps has seen behaviours that we might describe as bullying here as being good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can't make the systems work for them. Bringing in expats to run systems because they can't deal with it.
Because they're not going to put up with that.
So I've got a job on my hands, whether I can change a culture.
Oof, of an entire nation.
Who knows?
Yeah, interesting. All right, we'll keep us posted on that.
Yeah, we'll
and
do.
I think you're definitely going to have to get me out there as well. And
I think you
get
should.
Get me on one of these flights. And
I think you should.
And yeah, we'll do some episodes out in the Far East. That'd be
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Could do actually some
in
cool
the desert.
Interviews, couldn't we, with some
yeah.
different way, where they've got a different way of looking at the world over there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which we could learn from and our audience, therefore.
Yeah, one of the things that the expats do, apparently, is go and spend weekends in the desert camping out.
Really?
Yeah, organised kind of thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Exciting, okay, cool. Well, let's keep us posted on that for sure. I want to give a quick shout out to a place called The Hive. I don't know if you've heard of it, in Birkenhead. It's like a youth zone, youth centre.
Oh, yeah.
Which opened, well, it will have opened by the time this goes out. It hasn't quite at this moment, but I had a little tour of it today. Big tour, actually. And just an amazing facility, which arguably the most well equipped youth centre in the country.
When you say youth, what kind of age are we talking about?
I think kind of 10, 11 up to early 20s.
Oh, well, that's cool. That's good.
So it's slap bang in the middle of Birkenhead. It's predominantly aimed at all kids on the world, and even Liverpool as well if they wanted to. Mm. But obviously those less well off are encouraged a bit more, and I've actually sponsored, it's £5 per kid for the year to be a member, and then 50p per visit. So super cheap, really. And in there, it's amazing. It's got a full gym. It's got 2 5-a-side football pitches. It's got boxing rings. It's got dance hall, full studio with like musicians area and recording studio.
Wow.
An art centre and canteen, even little spaces where kids can learn about kind of like beautician stuff or hairdressing, heck, being a barber, that kind of thing.
Would they be doing any mindfulness?
Maybe. Well, there are little safe, say, quiet zones as well where kids can go. If they're having trouble at home or at school, they can go and have a chat with someone as well.
That's cool. That's good.
So, yeah, have a little look out for it. If you're on the world, pop down and have a look. And I guess this is related to what we're talking about today, which I didn't realise until I'm just talking about now, but they are seeking X number of volunteers to help out there, as well as the paid staff, which are going to be on site all the time. They've put the feelers out for a lot of volunteers, and they've actually had a really good response. I think they were hoping for 100 volunteers, and so far they're up to 75 already. But we're talking about selflessness today, aren't we? And
well, it starts off with an article.
Yeah, you sent me this is how it works on the show. Sean sends me an article to something random, and then we can chat about it.
It just pressed my button because I love cooking, see. So the article is psychologists explain the benefits of baking for other people.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the benefits of baking for other people are twofold. The other people get the benefit, but so does the baker.
Yeah.
And it talks about the issues that are going on psychologically for someone who is a cook for others. And that's my world. I'm always cooking for other people.
Yeah.
You know, can I make you a sandwich?
Yeah, please.
that whole idea of, because food is life, and without food we die. Essentially, when you cook for other people, you're giving them life.
Mm.
And I'd never kind of seen it like that before. And it made me think about Bob Geldof and that song, Feed the World. You know, and when you get down to the idea that giving another person the opportunity to have a full stomach and to live, feeding the world, is such a powerful thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's obviously something going on in, I think it's East Africa, there's a famine, is it? I can't remember which country it is, blimey.
That's bad.
It is, but there's a serious thing going on in East Africa.
Yeah.
Where millions and millions are at risk, like, imminently. But there's a few YouTube celebs that I follow that use their network of millions of subscribers and people that watch them every day to raise a bucket load of money. I think they raised like $2 million in a few days.
That's good.
And they managed to convince Turkish Airlines to basically give them a free plane to transport all the food, which is beautiful. But they actually learned some interesting stuff about how it wasn't the best way to tackle it, really, because they went there with all this food. And people were grateful and obviously ate it, and it helped them for a time. But it didn't go down super well because the... there were people there already that, you know, they could have bought the food from instead of buying it overseas and bringing it all in.
Yeah, build the economy.
Exactly. So it's the whole give a man a fish and he'll feed his family for a day and all that.
Give him a fishing rod.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. And that's the inappropriateness of when we sit outside of another community and we make assumptions as to what they might need or should need.
Yeah.
Without actually going and communicating and getting that.
So you be careful when you're off in the Middle East, eh?
I will.
Yeah, but there's a little quote I took from the article you sent. Baking is a productive form of self-expression and communication. And not just that as well, but it's, yeah, you said it's kind of therapeutic from you. It's also quite a creative thing.
But that's something you and I both agreed on when we were talking about it, was that at the end of a stressful day, I want to go and cook some food.
Yeah,
because it's part of my de-stressing. And Ree might say to me, oh, do you want me to cook some food when you're finished? And I'll say, no, if you're okay, I'll cook it myself. Because the actual cooking is a part of my de-stressing.
Yeah, I mean, particularly for me, I love cooking pasta with chucking loads of stuff in and the cream at the end and all that. Or a curry as well. I like, something like that where you can, I just find it so involving. And therapeutic, just kind of adding things, different stages and watching the flavours come together and all that. So I'm right there with you. And the same with baking, I haven't been doing too much baking of late, but I've been on a bread making course and I went through a phase of making a lot of bread. Yeah, it's just a fantastic process.
I'm running out of the ability to make bread because I haven't got people to eat it.
Yeah.
So what's happening is I'm making bread and then end up throwing half it in the bin, which is crazy. So I need to learn to make smaller loaves.
The birds? Chuck a bit for the birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you come to mine and I cook you pasta, then you're in the good books, really. Because that's what I cook.
So have you ever actually made your own pasta?
No, I haven't actually.
I've got a pasta machine. You want to borrow it sometimes?
Is it one of those things that you wind round?
Yeah, and you can either make pasta or sheets. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's good for making ravioli and stuff like that.
Okay, but we move. I was investigating this topic and kind of moved on to selflessness as a concept or as a way of developing yourself, and then this struck upon this word, altruism, which is one of those words which I kind of obviously have heard, but I would have struggled to have defined had I not gone to good old Google and found that it means it's a selfless altruism or selflessness is the principle or practice of concern for the welfare of others.
One of the things about that, so I'm going to butt in and say this, is that that it's my thing about altruism is actually quite selfish, because the person who's altruistic gets a lot from it. That doesn't mean to say that it's a bad thing and you shouldn't do it. It's like the assumption that altruism is something that I do to the expense of myself. It's like martyrdom. Mm. Yeah, if I'm truly altruistic, I get loads out of giving. And it could be that I am feeding the poor, or you know, clothing people, or giving them water. But I get a lot from that.
Yep.
It makes me feel good. Uh-huh. So it's like a double bang. It's good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I know you do a certain percentage of your work, or you will do at no cost, or a client will come along every now and again. They can't afford to hand over fistfuls of dollars that you demand usually.
Well, the way I see it is the people that can afford it pay for the people that come.
Yeah.
You know, very often.
Yeah, well, same here. Same. I had I quoted a client just a few days ago, or a potential client, for some web design and graphic that they needed to get their business set up, and the price that I quoted them, they basically said they couldn't afford it. But I was quite keen to work with them, or still am, and just basically said, oh, what can you stretch to, and do you want me to spread it out over 4, 5, 6 months instead? Because I do like working with early stages with people setting up businesses and just helping them get going, really. And obviously, I don't want them to break the bank or game over after 3 months, because it doesn't help them or me. So, I guess that's it's kind of selfless, but also selfish in the same.
The important thing is realizing that in giving, I get something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that comes out in the psychology of the people cooking for others, is that they get a lot of pleasure out of doing it.
Yeah.
So it's a benefit for both. I love that. That's good.
Talking about psychology, there's a New York Times article on the power of altruism, which goes quite deep on the subject. I'll link to it in the show notes. And it talks early on about how Sigmund Freud, what does he know, kind of observed that whilst we can learn a lot from children in terms of their energy for enthusiasm for life, in certain respects, when it comes to selflessness, they're kind of shit. And I know that from my kids and seeing them interact with other kids of a similar age, like 4, 5, 6-ish. They're not kind of instinctively selfless, in that kids tend not to like to share things. They just want the things for themselves, and to, you know, they are quite selfish. So we have to kind of teach them to be selfless. It's also that about.
Maybe they're learning from observation. There's an interesting thing about Freud, though, and I apologise for any psychologists that are listening to this if I make it too simple. But you got someone like Freud who comes along and says that basically people are bad, and if you lead them to their own devices, the negative self will come out, so you have to control it.
Yep.
And then you get someone like Carl Rogers who comes along and says, no, it's actually the other way around. The people essentially are good. And if you allow them to self-actualise in their own space, then they will actually come out as good people.
Yep.
Yeah. And this conflict between are people inherently good or inherently bad is one of the biggest arguments that ever goes on in psychology and carries on and always has been there.
Yep.
Now, I guess that there's going to be a genetic propensity towards people's behaviours, inevitably, and also to issues like disease and stuff like that. But the majority of what we are is what we learn to be, and we learn that from observation.
Yep.
So it's a bit, you know, when parents give their kid a clack and they say, don't do what I do what I tell you, they're not actually teaching through observation.
Yep.
Whereas a child actually learns from what they observe.
Mm.
So if you and Beth Ann are good, fine, honest, sharing, kind people, that's what the kids learn.
Yep.
Isn't it? You know, and the extended family, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not. Our kids are horrendous at sharing. So what are we doing wrong?
Yeah. I don't know, but maybe they... That's
actually, they're not too bad. Will's quite good. He's quite patient with his little younger brother, Jacob, who always wants the toy that William's got.
Yeah.
He's quite good at... You think he's just learned that it's just easier just to kind of let him have a go, and he'll, within 30 seconds, he probably will put it on the floor and moved on anyway.
But maybe the issue of I, me, my is the natural survival instinct. But then the next step on, if we're talking about altruism, is we learn that if we cooperate with other people or with other things, other beings, you know, that we're going to all survive, okay?
Yep, it's just easier, isn't it? It just makes life easier.
But if you look at the... there are two versions of evolution. One is the favourite, which is the Darwinian idea of survival of the fittest. You know, whoever's the toughest wins kind of thing. As opposed to... The concept of survival through cooperation.
Yep.
And there are so many examples of things that cooperate with each other, whether it's a hummingbird that develops to be able to get the nectar from a certain flower and pollinate it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The things evolve together in cooperation, which is much more of a female way of seeing evolution as opposed to the male way, which is about toughness and fitness and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. But the idea of evolution through cooperation is quite a powerful and sort of compelling idea.
It is, yeah. I mean, inevitably we come to the subject of 20s or politics of our age, and, well, we've got Mr. Trump shouting America first whenever he can, and certainly in his inauguration speech, that was kind of the main headline. Yeah. So it's like America first, but then that obviously means that everyone else is second or third or who knows where. So similarly in the UK with what's been going on, there's that kind of shout about how we're going to be going to the rest of the world, and it's really about protectionism, really, isn't it? And kind of closing the door, shutting the borders a little bit.
I mean, when we started this, when we were talking before, and you were saying, oh, you know, we keep talking about Brexit, I can't keep talking about Brexit, and yet Brexit is a very real experience of human sharing and giving and caring and that kind of stuff. And people will come at it from different angles and they'll all say that I am right. The ultimate thing for me is that if global warming is correct, and I accept the fact that Mr. Trump says it's not, but if it is correct, what that means is that the areas around the equator are going to get hotter, less fertile, and less able to support the people that are there, which means that those people are going to move away from the equator, and they're either going to move north or south.
Yep.
And that's an inevitability, if global warming is right, over the next 100, 200 years,
mm-hmm.
which means there's going to be a massive movement of humanity up and down the hemispheres. It's up to us what we do about that, because we can accommodate it.
Yep. Or there we can be watching the boats in the Mediterranean sink, and we can either help those folks or not.
Or not.
It's already happening, isn't it? So.
Yeah. I mean, they're moving maybe for different reasons, but actually, we're going to run out of things like water and food in those areas if global warming is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, this, isn't it?
Well,
is global warming fake news or is it real?
Well, I read a lot about that, and it's real. I mean, the conflict in Syria was. I mean, for a number of reasons, but a million people from the outside the cities rushed to the cities because there was there'd been so little rain, in like it was the worst drought in 900 years.
Mm.
So the reason people are, for me, in Syria, it's all to do with climate change. Mm. So it's already happening. And I see Trump and Brexit and all the other crazy things going on in politics as a direct result of climate change.
But you and I are both Remainers or Remoners or Rejoiners or whatever, and we acknowledge that. But we're out of step, aren't we? If you look at the poll today, then it's like 50% of people are still supporting Brexit, 36% are saying no, and 14% are undecided. So you and I are now representing the minority.
Yeah, I know. I know. But if you had a referendum on the death penalty tomorrow, how many people would say, bring it back, bring it back? Probably enough to kind of get it in. But does that mean it's a good idea? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But then we're down into that situation now where politics in the West has kind of rolled on over the last few generations in a fairly easy way. But now it's becoming stark again.
Mm.
You know, and the issue of the haves and the have-nots, and are we going to be socialist or capitalist, and all those kinds of things. And I guess that the people who are very capitalist would see that their approach is quite altruistic because they're encouraging people to self-actualise, get off their butts and do stuff.
Yep.
And the socialists are being altruistic in saying there are people that can't do that. There are people that need help. We need to support them in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now who's right?
Well, that's what the battle is ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's, it doesn't matter who is right. It's matter who's going to fight the hardest for their...
Yeah. But then when it's like fight, does that mean taking to the streets with a pickaxe? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're in one of those phases in social evolution where we're going to go into probably quite a dark age before it settles again into some level of sanity.
You know? Let's hope it's not too long. There's another interesting article on theatlantic.com, again about altruism, which has got some really good information, data, and about how selflessness can help you live longer.
Yeah.
And help, like, lower cholesterol even and things like that. Some studies done with... What? Are you pointing at me because I've got high cholesterol? Yeah, yeah. Imagine how high it would be
if you weren't so altruistic.
Yeah. I'm always holding doors open for people and all sorts. But yeah, no, there's some really interesting studies that have been done with people of all ages and where they've encouraged people to volunteer and had take... people that have and haven't volunteered, and yeah, those that have reduction in cholesterol, lost weight, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So it can actually help you live longer and help you be happier.
But it's interesting that idea of if I give, it actually does me good, because all those Eastern philosophies of Dharma and Karma, like acting in the right way, and then the results of that action are all about if you give, you receive. You know, I give to you, I receive from you.
Mm.
I give to the world, I receive from the world. Whereas if I get into the idea of take, and no give, then there's nothing that comes back.
Yeah, you're going to reach some kind of breaking point and bad things happen.
Yeah, yeah. And the stupidest thing of all, I mean, on all these things, if I give it the energy, annoy me, the idea that 35% of the food that we buy in this country goes in the bin.
Mm.
That is appalling. And we have people in this country that are hungry. We have people in the world that are starving.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know what the percentage is in places like the States in terms of how much food they put in the bin. But like a third of the food that we buy goes in the bin. That is horrendous.
Yeah, it's not something to be proud of.
At all. There's something to be shameful about.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Is 35% of your food go in the bin?
No. Goes in my mouth.
35%. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, no, we're pretty good at it, but work to be done. There's a video that I haven't actually had to. I found it. I think it's worth watching, and I've put it on my watch later list on YouTube or Vimeo even. But there's a chap whose name I have forgotten. Yeah, I haven't saved the link. But he was a molecular geneticist.
On the TED Talks.
Yes, he's now a Buddhist monk. Yeah. And he's done a talk about altruism, how it can be the cure for all sorts of things in the world, climate change, species extinction and inequality. Apparently altruism can solve them all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll put it in the show notes, have a watch. Cool. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure it looks really cool.
Yeah. There's another film, you have to have the stomach to watch it, is Earthlings.
Oh, right, okay.
You never watched it?
No.
Watch Earthlings.
Earthlings, okay.
That is really, really a tough one to watch, because what it says is that every being on this planet, every sentient being, has the same rights as every other sentient being. So if you look at that in terms of every animal on the planet, including us, and then you look at us as our dominant role and what we do and how we affect all the other sentient beings. It's a tough watch.
Okay.
Because it means that you have to face up to quite a lot of what human beings are and do.
Yep.
Which is quite difficult.
Indeed. Okay. I'll put it on my list.
Yeah.
One of my Friday night films.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. I'm good. The thing that I would like to talk about in a little bit and put as my resource.
Yep.
Is that on the Wirral here, and across into Liverpool, there are a couple of women who run a homeless feeding situation, and that they've just kind of upped their game. So Frank Field, I understand, lovely guy, has got them a garage lock-up so they can store food which is being contributed by shops and
cool.
That kind of thing. And what they're doing is they're encouraging people that are on a rota to produce food each week or every day that goes out to the homeless. And Rhea and I have done that in the past, and we've slipped. We need to be doing it more.
Yep.
But in every part of the country, if you just type into Google feeding the homeless, it comes back, kind of all over the place, you know, Brighton, Birmingham, whatever.
Yep.
And everywhere there are people that are trying to help those amongst us that have nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, and that just seems such an important thing to do. We were in Manchester a few weeks ago doing a programme, Rhea and I, and the amount of people on the street was scary. Not just people on the street, organised people on the street, people that have pop-up tents that they live in on the street.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's something. I mean, you and I have talked about the change in society quite a lot over our episodes. But as we move further to that kind of right-wing idea, the more we go back to that Victorian state. You know, I can see the health service collapsing around us. Everybody pretends it's not, but when you're in it, you can see it. Mm. And it's a very, very sad thing. But if we don't learn this lesson of looking after each other in a very real way, that they're going to create a lot of suffering for people, including ourselves, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Well, I just read this morning there's some benefit changes coming in April the 6th this month or something, so in a few days, which are going to... The people that's going to hit the hardest are people who... single parents who have lost their partner to death, so they're widows or widowers. It's like, Why go after those guys? It's like, they've already gone through the trauma.
But it's like going after the soft targets, isn't it? When governments want to appear to be kind of macho and making a change, they go after the classics, health, education, benefits. It's all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And they're easy targets to hit, and they can appear to be doing a great amount of stuff.
Hmm.
The fact that they're creating a great amount of misery behind them is something that maybe they turn a blind eye to.
I don't
know. You know, but when you do what I do, you deal with the worst end of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was dealing today, you know, we had an explosion on the Wirral.
You're doing it, I remember it, yeah.
And I was dealing today with a lady whose house was taken out by the explosion, and she was in it.
Oof. Okay.
Well, it happened, and her grandchildren were there as well. And it's amazing that they survived, and they did, luckily. But those guys are in a situation where they end up with nowhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we do? You know, and it's those kinds of things where... And it's lovely when you see it, when the world comes together to support a crisis. It is such a lovely thing to see.
Yep.
You know, like we have Red Nose Day here.
Yep.
And all the comedians get together and do things, even if they're kind of crass and bad and mad. But it's okay. It's raising dosh for people.
And I've seen a lot even since the new Very explosion on the Wirral a couple of weeks ago. There was a boy or a girl at my lad's school who must have been affected in quite badly in some way. So they had they had a Friday where it was non-uniform day, and then you had to pay a bit, or you had to donate a little bit. Well, you didn't have to, but if you wanted to, for the family, it would go directly to that family just to help them get set up again. So
yeah.
I guess that's teaching
groups,
isn't it, about the
that
when something bad happens, you know, you don't just have to stand there and watch it. You can help out and get stuck in and help them out, and you can get a little kick from that as well yourself, or a non-uniform day, even better. It's not all bad, is it?
And pay for it. It's good when we look after each other.
My resource, I actually wrote it down right at the start when I saw your the link you'd sent through, but it's called Chef's Table on Netflix, which is a documentary series about some of the best chefs in the world and some of their restaurants. So pretty high end stuff, actually, but you would love it if you haven't already seen Chef's Table. Some of them are just absolutely mind blowing in terms of the craftsmanship and the love that they pour into their work ethic. And they're not all like Gordon. In fact, none of them are kind of Gordon Ramsay type, you know, horrendous human beings like shouting at their staff. They love their staff, you know, and they want to teach them and train them up to the same level as them.
Yeah.
But different kinds of food. Check it out, Chef's Table.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Okay, right. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website for all the show notes and links. Some great ones from today. Also, don't forget about clearmindcushion.com if you're into meditation.
And if you're not into meditation, you should be.
You should be, indeed. It will help with your altruism as well. You can really dial into it. Then a cushion is really handy. And Chris from clearmindcushion.com has developed a really amazing, comfortable, simple cushion that will help you either get started or stay on track with your meditation. And if you use the discount code SELFHELP, all one word, you'll get a 10% discount as well. Not too shabby, eh?
Very good.
Very good indeed. Right, Sean, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, you take care.
See you soon.
Be happy.
Bye.